This episode of Nintendo Expansion Pass is brought to you by, well, you. If you want to learn how to support Nintendo Podblock and the Boss Rush Network, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/BossRushNetwork and see which tier is right for you. Thanks for your continued support. Welcome to Nintendo Expansion Pass here on Boss Rush Network. I'm your host, the enlightened, excited, and we joining me is the one, the only, Bossman himself, Mr. Corey Dimrick. Hello, good sir.
Hello, Edward Varnell.
Hello. We have a very interesting topic because it's almost close to 1 year that The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom has been out for Nintendo Switch. The game was released on May 12th, 2023. And we had some thoughts about this game after its initial release. And we were talking about it in our Nintendo Podblock episode. And it kind of got me thinking because Tears of the Kingdom has, was trending this Sunday. And I was just kind of like, this is very interesting after this game been out that it's still trending. People are still talking about it. People still have, you know, a variety of thoughts about the game. And I kind of feel like a certain way towards Tears of the Kingdom that, you know, I think, of course, I feel like it's better than Breath of the Wild, in my personal opinion, but I have a different idea about this game. But Corey, I'm gonna pass it to you for a quick minute. What are your thoughts about Tears of the Kingdom? Like, how do you feel about it now after it's been out for close to a year?
Yeah, so my thoughts are a little conflicted, and it's going to come out like I think this game, like some negative thoughts on the game, and it's not meant to be that way because I actually think in every conceivable way it's better than Breath of the Wild, right? Mm-hmm. Like from a gameplay standpoint, from a story standpoint, I think the story is 100 times better. I think the characters are better. The opening sequence is much better. My thing is that if you never played Breath of the Wild, I wouldn't bother playing Breath of the Wild. I would jump into Tears of the Kingdom, actually. Mm-hmm. And if you want caught up on the story from Breath of the Wild, those memories are in YouTube videos. You can just go watch them, right? I mean, it's not a lot of, as much as I love Breath of the Wild and how much that game means to me and us and whatever, I think Tears of the Kingdom is better. With that said, if you did spend a lot of time in Breath of the Wild, like I did, like you did, like most people did when the Switch came out,
yes,
I think what's missing with Tears of the Kingdom is the magic of what Breath of the Wild gave us, because we almost literally have done this before, right? It's the same world. It's the, like, literally the same map with new kind of, you know, wrinkles in it, right? You know, obviously the underground stuff and the sky islands, like, those are all there, right? It gave us proper dungeons this time, which are great. But, like, essentially, like, oh, they gave us new shrines, which are, you know, just variations of the other shrines. These powers are similar enough, but different enough. Also, it depends on if you like to like the building mechanics or not, which I'm not somebody who likes the building stuff. But for me, mostly it's the magic. It's the magic of playing Breath of the Wild for the first time, running out of the cave, right? Kind of exploring, trying to figure out what the game is because we knew absolutely nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the magic of exploration and just figuring it out was lost in Tears of the Kingdom. You know, I think Breath of the Wild was definitely the... There was something really special about it. And I don't know if it's because people tie it to the Switch and how popular the Switch is, or, you know, I mean, that was the first game a lot of people played on the Switch, right? I mean, that game was literally outselling the Nintendo Switch at one point. And so, yeah, I think that's what I would say is like the magic of what Breath of the Wild gave us was not present in Tears of the Kingdom. And not that Tears of the Kingdom isn't a special game, right? I think it's incredibly well done. I think the story is awesome. I think the new characters they introduce are awesome. I think Ganon is scary. Like, I think this is the first time I've been scared of Ganon in a very long time, if ever, right? I think I don't remember the last time I was this scared of Ganon. I don't know if I ever have been that scared. He's just so imposing and scary, and I think the voice acting helps a lot with that, right? Matt Mercer did a great job of voice acting the character.
Yes.
And just watching him do things within the memories that are scary and imposing and powerful, and that's what you want a villain to do, right? You want them to be that. And so I think from that perspective, if you're aiming for wanting a good Zelda story, this is probably the best one since Skyward Sword, I would say. But you know, like I said before, if you're into the gameplay stuff and exploring and stuff, like, and you played Breath of the Wild, this doesn't offer a lot new in that from that perspective. And so I think that's where I'm going with it, is just the magic of figuring it out and finding your way through the world is gone in this game. If you played Breath of the Wild, you know, and even if you didn't play Breath of the Wild, you know, just from listening to people who played it, like, this is what the game is now. This is, you know, the shrines are great. The divine beasts were okay. But yeah, I mean, I would actually say if you haven't played Breath of the Wild, you should just go straight to Tears of the Kingdom, in my opinion. Because I actually think Breath of the Wild will ruin Tears of the Kingdom for you.
Yeah. Well, I think with Breath of the Wild, because it is a new direction for the mm-hmm. Legend of Zelda series. Like, if for those who have kind of like followed the series in a sense, you got the top down view with a little bit of the 2D with Zelda 2. But you had the, you know, kind of like the Triforce era with it. And then once you get to the N64, you start getting like the 3D Zeldas that doesn't focus so much on the Triforce anymore. It focuses on like different parts, the elements in three pieces and stuff, and doing a dark and light kind of transition in some of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Wind Waker, that's kind of how they kind of somewhat return back to the Triforce in a little bit, but it wasn't.
Ed's dying, buddy. He's choking on something. He did this before we started recording too. He's just falling apart, everybody. Keep adding your prayers.
Yes. but it was a transition away for the Triforce. So now in this universe of Zelda, I should say, you got this freedom of Link, you know, to go anywhere and to plot your destination and how you get there and how you prepare. Like, it was true. It's truly open world, is that you have the freedom, but you have to prepare for that journey that you're going to make, whether it's rewarding or not. And there's going to be some, you know, distractions on your way or some interest on your way with it in Breath of the Wild and even in Tears of the Kingdom. And my take with it, and I love that you said losing the magic. That is something that no one has really said or anything. Yeah. And it stands out because of, you know, it's that freedom of exploration. And, you know, just seeing what Nintendo could do, and Anuma and the team, what they could do if they had, you know, just gave you that freedom, if they gave you that freedom of being able to explore the land. And if you want to progress in the game, you know, or if you even want to get to the ending and stuff, you have that freedom to do it. You know, Anuma and them and the team didn't hold your hand. So all of these new concepts, all this expectations and surpassing those expectations, that's where the magic was at. Don't forget, when Breath of the Wild came out, people were online to be like, shut up about this game and don't say nothing to me about it because I want to experience it. And if it was all, if it was okay for people to talk about it, everybody's experience was different. Things that you played in a one game, someone played, you know, didn't experience it in their gameplay yet. Until later, but they did something that you didn't do. It was all new, and it was just like, how is a game this big on a system of this magnitude, how can it deliver all of this content? Mm-hmm. You know, and it, that's what Breath of the Wild presented. And then with Tears of the Kingdom, they expanded that to give you more freedom out of different places, but it didn't feel the same because it was just like, okay, we already got this expectations and we got this feel of it. And for some people, they don't have that same feeling with Tears of the Kingdom in that game. Mm-hmm. Great, phenomenal game and great narrative of a game that's being told, which differentiate from Breath of the Wild, that Breath of the Wild really didn't have a narrative because everybody was into the openness and exploration. With Tears of the Kingdom, you got a great story. You got a narrative, stuff that people wanted from Nintendo. Once again, people want stories from Nintendo, and when they deliver it, it's something that is going to be memorable or not. And from my takeaway with it after being a year and stuff, I really think, and this is kind of different from where me and Corey is coming from, I really think now that it should have got Game of the Year from like the Game Awards. And no disrespect to not Diablo 4, but
Baldur's Gate
and stuff. But I think, you know, I'm just not seeing. I mean, Baldur's Gate had a lot of talk, even when it got released on Xbox and just released on PlayStation and all of these places. Like, people are still talking about it, but yet Tears of the Kingdom is still trending, and people are still showcasing videos, people are still doing artwork, people are still using that game as experiment. You know, there's a college who is going to their engineering course is going to be using Tears of the Kingdom for like experiments for their students and stuff. And it's kind of amazing that a game that didn't win Game of the Year is still being talked about. It's still making sales. Like, the game is still selling and stuff.
Yeah. And it's Zelda, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
All these games are still selling. It's kind of funny because, like, all of these games are just, like, out there, right? They're just happening. And Zelda is one of those games. I mean, it's the same thing we talked about with Breath of the Wild, though. It's like that game just kept selling. It's still Breath of the Wild is still selling, you know? Like, I think even if you didn't play Breath of the Wild, like, I wonder how many people played Tears of the Kingdom and then went back to Breath of the Wild, right? Like, I wonder what that number looks like, right? Because you know, I think the difference between Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom is, even though they're the same game, they are pretty different in terms of, I mean, even the way the games open, right? Like,
yeah,
Breath of the Wild, you run out of the cave, they teach you how to like climb up the wall and use the Sheikah Slate, and you're out. You can go do whatever you want. Whereas Tears of the Kingdom, which is actually something I really appreciated, was there is a linear story beat that you have to play through before you get out into the world. And even when you get out into the world, like, yes, you can technically land, right? But I mean, well, actually, you start in the Sky Islands and you have to do the story stuff for the Sky Islands before you even get to the ground, right? Yeah. And then once you get to the ground, you have to go to that central town. I forget what it's called. Sky something. The lookout something. Yeah. And you go there, right? And then you have to talk to Pyra or Pyra in the scientists there, right? And then you go off, and then it tells you where the story beats are, which is also a very nice thing. But like, that's what I'm saying though, is like the magic of the exploration and figuring out what to do is gone. And I think they did that on purpose based off of feedback, right? Because it is a little frustrating when you don't know where you're going. I like that it gave you the option to either follow the story stuff or go explore, right? I think Tears of the Kingdom does that masterfully. Mm-hmm. But that also eliminates the, like I said, the magic of figuring it out, or, oh, technically I can go over here, and if I'm good enough, I can get my way through it, but I'm clearly not supposed to be here yet. Let's go explore somewhere else, you know? So yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on what you want and where you start, you know. I think, and I actually think a lot of this, as much as we wanted a direct sequel to Breath of the Wild, I actually think that may have been the wrong move for, clearly it's not the wrong move because they've sold 25 million units of this game. But sure, I mean, but
I think they did what was it, 10 million?
I mean, I think it's. I don't know. I think they're at the 25 million mark at this point, though.
But I mean, when the game first released, I think.
Oh, they did. I don't remember. They were doing bonkers numbers, though, as Ed would say.
Yeah, because they hit a high number on their first day of sales.
Yeah,
when that game came out.
Yeah, but I think in terms of like recapturing that magic, I think setting it in a new version of Hyrule or a new place, even if it is a direct sequel, like I think setting it in a new place would have been, you know, the way to go. Although, you know, it's so funny because this game still took 6 years to come out and they used the same map and the same animations, right? I mean very clearly they were using the engine to build these building mechanics, right? That was what that that's probably what that time was made for, right? And like adding to the world. But
yes,
if we would have gotten a new world, we would be dead before the next Zelda game comes out. Like, you know, so it's I think the thing too though is it's like I still want a third game in this world, right? I love these versions of Zelda and Link and Pyra and Ganon, and like I love this Zelda universe, right? I love the world, I love the characters, I love the story they're telling, I love the zone they finally introducing the Zonai, I love all of it. And I would love a third game set in this world. I just want it set somewhere else, you know.
I think the thing about it is that, and I'm going to make a Grand Theft Auto, not comparison, but I'm going to use that, is that, yes, the GTA games have evolved. No, not evolved, but they changed their settings. Mm-hmm. And people love those games for what it is. Like, and they barely don't have to change anything. Like you mentioned, changing a setting or something. If they change a different setting in Zelda, mm-hmm. it would be, you know,
it would go a long way. It would go a really long way.
But I think the setting is I think Hyrule is such Hyrule is such a world that's, I think it's been through many transitions, and I'm kind of just thinking, like, would there ever be a Zelda game that does not use Hyrule at all?
Well, I mean, there have been plenty. Link's Awakening, Majora's Mask, mm-hmm. I mean, technically Skyward Sword doesn't really use Hyrule. They use, you know, the Sky Islands, right? Like, there's plenty of Zelda games that don't use the handheld ones.
Leaf Awakening.
For DS.
Spirit Tracks.
Phantom Hourglass. I don't think those take place in Hyrule.
No.
One of them might. But...
the other one,
Phantom Hourglass,
because that takes place in that version of Hyrule with Wind Waker.
Yeah. So, but my point is like, you could do Termina, you could do, you know, the island for Link's Awakening. You could, mm-hmm. I know Link's Awakening technically Dream, whatever.
Yeah.
You could. Give us another landmass. There's got to be other kingdoms than Hyrule, right? I mean, there's got to be other places, you know? I mean, you don't have to stick to Hyrule. I think it would be really fascinating for Zelda to expand past Hyrule.
I think that's the question, if, because like everybody knows, Tears of the Kingdom was an expansion pass for Breath of the Wild.
It started that way.
Yeah, and then they started getting more ideas. It's testing stuff out and, you know, working with Monolith Soft. And this is the first Zelda game literally built up for Switch. I think there was so much. And then trying things, breaking things, fixing those things, like getting the quality up to snuff. Like, I think the Zelda team was doing so much and everything that if they tried to create anything new, like a brand new universe or Hyrule or whatever, I think it would have delayed the game a little bit further. And we might have not seen this game until the next Nintendo console because of so much that's happening. We had a question from Todd Oxtra at Nintendo Power Block, and if the Switch was going to go out of a bang, this game, I think Tears of the Kingdom would have been the bang of the game. I did say Pokemon as an answer for that.
Well,
I think that, like, Tears of the Kingdom, like, if they spent time and everything to, like, change and give us a brand new game that's very different from Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom might be in that game.
Yeah, and judging by what we heard at PAX, right, like, this console was supposed to be out this year. It was supposed to be out in March. Judging from what we heard at PAX, that's why the Nintendo booth was there, to showcase games that were on the new console, and they're just not, it's just not ready. So it's really fascinating to see, oh, this was supposed to be our kind of last hurrah while we start, you know, ramping up games and marketing, which would have been really interesting to see stuff like Paper Mario and Luigi's Mansion kind of anchor whatever new game is coming, right?
Yeah.
Like a launch game. Which also tells me that the next console is backwards compatible because of the games that are coming out now. And if that new console is coming out, like, these games were supposed to be out, right? Like, anyways, I think, where were we going with this? It would have been really interesting to see Breath of the Wild kind of be the last hurrah for the Switch, right?
Oh, Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom, sorry, yeah. So, I don't know, it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, and it's, to have, pretty much with Switch, it's now, at this point in time, the ultimate Zelda games. Like, it, of course, it doesn't have Phantom Hourglass, and it doesn't have Spirit Tracks.
Yeah, where's my train?
You know, but like, if we do get Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, it would have most of the console games on there, because we got Zelda 1 and 2 for NSO. On the Nintendo side, we got Link to the Past. And Link Between Worlds, we don't have on Switch. Link to the Past, we have that on the Super Nintendo side. We got Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time for N64. We got Link's Awakening DX and the original version, I believe, for the Game Boy. So, you know, like Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
And then we got Skyward Sword that you could buy. We got Link's Awakening, the remake. Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, like Hyrule Warriors 1 and 2 on there. So, like, we have a lot of Zelda that you could play on Switch. And so, if Tears of the Kingdom was that bang to end the system, I don't even think we probably would have this conversation, because it will definitely be a new experience away from Breath of the Wild and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, in a year that if that was the case, like let's just take this year, 2024. If Microsoft wasn't doing what it's doing now, and we just found out that Sony isn't really like releasing first party stuff, Tears of the Kingdom may be the game that saved just 2024 and Nintendo alone.
And it's so funny, because you, like, I was listening to a PlayStation podcast the other day, and they were talking about how, like, so it's Sony is happy that Spider-Man sold like 10 million copies or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're just like, but then you go and look at like Nintendo's sales, and they have something like Animal Crossing that sells 40 million units without blinking an eye, or even Luigi's Mansion 3 sold like 17 million units or something. And they were just like, Sony. Excuse my language real quick, but this was a quote from the podcast. They were like, Sony would shit their pants if one of their games sold 15 million units. I'm just like, well, yeah, I mean, I think God of War is probably the game that has sold the most for them. And I think God of War sold 20 million.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have stuff like, you know, The Last of Us selling like 8 million and Spider-Man selling 10 million, which Spider-Man kind of surprises me a little bit that that's that low. But also, like, the PlayStation 5 hasn't sold nearly as many units as the PS4. So, and we've always said that Spider-Man's probably going to have a long tail, especially if they're going to have that Venom expansion that was leaked, and like the X-Men, and, you know, all this stuff that supposedly is coming from Insomniac being the Marvel studio for the next 12 years.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks in its own way, but.
Like I said, this is not a knock against Microsoft or Sony or anything, but I'm just like, if you're going up against a Nintendo IP, most likely at this time, Nintendo games are definitely going to win. They don't have to sell big in their first time, because if they do, the expectation is that big sales continue. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, of course, Spider-Man sold super well over Super Mario Brothers Wonder, but Wonder is still staying on the list of games being sold.
I don't know. I think Wonder has outsold it at this point.
It may have.
I'm looking that up. Mario Wonder sales figures. We're gonna get these updated figures soon. Mario Wonder, this was as of February. Mario Wonder has sold 12 million units.
Okay.
So it's getting up there. I still, man, I fell off that game so hard. I wanted to like that game more than I did.
I gotta just pop it back in and continue playing.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I do enjoy that game. Like I said, 23 had so much greatness across the board. Like, from PlayStation to Microsoft to Nintendo, like, AAA first party and third party games was major. The only ones who were missing were indie games. So there was just a lot to play, definitely in October. And everything. So it's just like everybody now is catching up.
Yeah.
In a sense. And even with Tears of the Kingdom, people are catching up, because as much as Baldur's Gate 3 is such a phenomenal game for people who have played it and picked it up and love that game, Tears of the Kingdom is still being talked about. It's still coming out of people's mouth. It's still getting artwork. It's still being showcased. Like, there's so much of fandom. There's so much of content is just coming out of that title alone. Still to this very day, and it's only been a year. And I'm not knocking Baldur's Gate or Ledarian Studios. Hopefully I say that right. I'm not knocking them on making that product, but you would think of a game that is Game of the Year material would still keep you talking. Because when Breath of the Wild won this Game of the Year, it was still being talked about, sales and showing, and people were still thinking about that game until Tears of the Kingdom came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it kind of just amazes me that, you know, regardless of what people think about Tears of the Kingdom, it's very impactful, just for gamers and Nintendo in general. Like, I still think that game is very impactful in everything. But like you said, Corey, I do agree with you that it lost its magic. But that's because of people experiencing that idea with Breath of the Wild and how cemented Breath of the Wild is. And, you know, how good it was, how it showcased. This is how you do an open world game. And like, look at Metacritic. You know, both games are like in the 90s. You know, no one was touching Breath of the Wild after it came out. And if people were touching it, they're going to be like, you had to match it or surpass Breath of the Wild. And people were not doing that for open world sandbox games. You know?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think Nintendo innovated in a lot of ways with their open world. I also think there are games that maybe do it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's all about the execution of the world that you're building, right? And so, you know, I think a lot of people point at... Let me back up a little bit. I think people used to look at Bethesda as the pinnacle of open world games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say Fallout 3, Skyrim era Bethesda. When Fallout 4 came out, right, people were really excited for it. And then people got really disappointed in it. Why? Because games like The Witcher, Metal Gear Solid 5, and even, you know, games before that did open worlds or open ish worlds better, right? And had surpassed Bethesda in a lot of ways. And even with Starfield now, right? Like, it's still, yeah, you can go to all these planets and stuff, but it's still like, instead of walking to the next town, you just fly your spaceship there, right? It's not like and it's still a Bethesda game, and people like that, and great. I'm happy for the people that like it, right? Those games aren't for me. They will never be for me. And I know I'm in the minority of that, but there are a lot of games that have done open worlds better, right? I mean, even now, like, yes, Breath of the Wild is one of them. I think Assassin's Creed does it very well. I know people like to hate on those games, but I actually think Odyssey and Valhalla do that very well.
Mm-hmm. People still go to Assassin's Creed too. Like, if we're talking about like an open world sandbox game, Assassin's Creed 2 is the first one that comes out.
I think, you know, I think current man, I lost it now. But there are a lot, my point is there are a lot of different types of open worlds, and I think a lot of companies have learned to execute their versions of open worlds better than others sometimes, but also it comes down to preference. But yes, I agree. I think Nintendo created an open world that was interesting, that was inspired, but also innovative and also inventive in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think Tears of the Kingdom took that to a new level. And I think they are both wonderful video games. I think they are both deserving of being played.
Yeah.
But if you could only play one, Breath of the Wild, for me, is my favorite game of all time, I think. But Tears of the Kingdom, from a gameplay perspective, from a story perspective, from a character building perspective, is better in almost every way, I would say. But like I said, it's the magic that was gone for me. So if you've never played those games before, I would say jump into Tears of the Kingdom. For me, if I ever replay these games at some point, it's going to be Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it's going to be Tears. And like I said, I love Breath of the Wild. Will always love that game. But I think Tears for me was just like, I was stopping to laugh. I was getting scared because a tree came out and started chasing me.
Trees, dude, they'll get you.
Like it, there was just so much to that game that I did not expect. And the music that in some of the towns in Tears of the Kingdom that I literally stopped just to listen. And it really made me think to be like, ooh, Anuma, you guys. I'm like, what you guys would do if you guys are giving power, like Horizon Forbidden West PS5 or PS4 Pro power, like what would you guys do? And Guerrilla Games. Shout out to Guerrilla Games for Horizon on PS5 Forbidden West. Like that game looks gorgeous movement.
It's one of the best looking games I think I've ever seen. Period. I think that, and then what else just came out that was really, 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 really good looking? Oh, Hellblade.
Yeah.
That game. I mean, it's not out yet, but it will be.
Yeah. I would say for me, Ghost of Tsushima on PS4 looks gorgeous too. Like, just I haven't seen the PS5 version, but like PS4, like I like how they play around with color and everything. Like, it looks. Sucker Punch, shout out to them.
Yeah, I mean, Infamous was awesome. I really liked Second Son.
I did too.
I know people like to not like Second Son, but I really like Second Son. I also didn't really play in the other Infamous games though. What was the there's something else. Oh, I think Final Fantasy 16 and 7 Rebirth are both incredible looking games.
Yes. Definitely agree with you. Yes. Dude,
video games just look good all the time.
I'm not even gonna front. Gears 5, still the best Gears. That game looks gorgeous. And Series X version, just like, oh, y'all clowns with that game.
I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Gear 6 rumors floating around.
It's trending, but I didn't click on it to read it.
Saying, if you think Hellblade looks amazing, wait till you see Gear 6 at the Summer Showcase. That's what they're talking about.
That's the rumor?
That's the rumor. It's going to be Hellblade levels of quality with gameplay level, or Gears gameplay level quality, running at 60 frames a second on the Xbox Series X.
Oh, I wouldn't even doubt them. Oh, man. The way they know how to use Unreal Engine 5. If they did that
demo, they're helping build it.
Right. But what I'm saying is, they didn't do the Matrix demo.
They did.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm. They helped with it, yes.
Okay.
Man, give me a Matrix game in Unreal.
Right. I literally, of course, that team who's doing Gear 6, like...
The Coalition.
The Coalition, yeah. I think because they know Unreal Engine, and some of them used to work at Epic, like, they know they could get something out of that mud. And I'm just like, as long as them, my thing is, I want to see the gameplay. And definitely, of course, when they're walking, you're going to see the environments and stuff. Like, it's going to be a masterpiece in art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
It's going to be something. So I'm very excited for a lot of games coming. I'm very poor on time and money right now, but I'm happy. Video games make me happy, and I don't know, recently I've been in like this weird video game funk where I just can't be happy playing video games for some reason, but also like video games, even just watching other people play video games recently while I'm like working on stuff or just everything, video games just make me happy and excited. And I mean, this is why we do this, right? I mean,
yeah.
So even if I'm not like keeping up as much as I used to with news and stuff and kids, don't allow me to play video games as much as I would like to. And, you know, but anyways, enough about me.
Yeah. Well, everybody, we're going to wrap it right there. I just thought that, you know, with the year almost coming up for Tears of the Kingdom, just having that discussion, just seeing it trending on X or Twitter, whatever you guys want to call it, just seeing it still trending, it amazes me just how impactful that game is.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. And like, I think with Nintendo Switch and their first party games, I think a lot of them are just so impactful. And this is just outside of sales or anything. We were talking on Nintendo Pop Block and about a question, you know, the last hurrah. Oh, no, not last hurrah. What game will influence, you know, will have a big influence for the next console? And Corey, you mentioned Xenoblade Chronicles, and I'm just like, yeah, I agree with that. And to see what they could do on their next console, man, that's going to be something. And that's why I just feel like with Nintendo Switch and the games that came out, this has to be one of their strongest consoles and strongest first party library. And this is just not even thinking about the sale numbers. They're just talking about the quality of the games and, you know, the memories that people have of them.
Yeah.
So.
Good times.
Yes. Well, with that, everybody, we'll see you next time on Nintendo Expansion Pass.
Wow.
Bye, everybody.
Wow. 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 If you want to see how you can become a Patreon producer, head on over to patreon.com/BossRushNetwork. The Patreon producers for this month are Adriel Munger, Austin Campbell, Celeste Roberts, Christian S., Sana Dierig, Francisco Santillan, Matthew Keel, and Todd Oxtra. Thanks for your continued support of the Boss Rush Network.